I will go ahead and introduce our sermonette speaker, who actually will take charge of the rest of the service. He is the coordinator of the Feast of Tabernacles here in Oceanside, Mr. Robin Weber.
Well, good morning. That's it. Good morning and welcome to where God has placed his name here in Oceanside, California. Mr. Salcedo already beat me to it to ask how many of you are visiting Oceanside for the first time. We certainly do want to welcome everybody and glad to have all of you. What you see around you and what's going on is a credit to all of the people that have been working so diligently here behind the scenes. Want to welcome you on behalf of our five Southern California congregations, Bakersfield, Los Angeles, Garden Grove, Redlands, and of course you're right here in San Diego's backyard here in San Diego County. And all of them, as well as many of our brethren around the Southwest, have been working behind the scenes to make this possible. Well, here we are, brethren, something that we've all been looking forward to. All of us have had our hearts and our minds towards the crescendoing of God's purpose as visited through the festivals. We've made it, been a lot of preparation. Let's just all kind of take a deep breath for a moment. We all made it, and we are all here. As is my customary greeting, I want to welcome all of you to what we affectionately call Maui East. You have arrived. There's some good news about all of this. You are 3,000 miles closer to home. You are 3 hours not off the time zones that you're used to. And you are probably saving $3,000. And so, and the best part of all of this is we share the same ocean and we have palm trees right here in San Diego County. I'm beginning to think now that we are on the coast rather than Escondido, maybe we should start calling Hawaii Oceanside West. I don't know if they're going to get used to that or not. Well, we do want to welcome everybody. We realize that we have a large, large contingent of people, not only from Southern California, not only from the Southwest, but also from around the nation and also from Canada and international people. Like, it's always kind of fun to see where everybody's from for a moment. Like to ask a few questions if we could. How many of you have traveled here and are internationals? Could you raise your hands, please? Okay, we have a few internationals back there. And how many Texans do we have, just in case, sir? Okay. You know about that Lone Star State, so we want to welcome all of you. Also have a question, and that is a simple one. And I'd like you to stand, whether you're young or old. How many of you are attending the Feast of Tabernacles for the very first time in your life? Could you please stand? We'd like you to stand. How about that? Folks, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Thank you very much. Our prayers, your tithes, your offerings, and your example as our friends come into our midst and our congregations, and we want to welcome you. All year long, they hear about, we're going to the feast. We're going to the feast. The feast is coming. In fact, dealing with the administration here, Cassie, who oversees the facility, we keep on talking about the feast, the feast, the feast. And it's not in the preparation. It's not in the charts, the boxes, the equipment. It's all of you coming into this room. I say, we are so excited about you meeting our people because, brethren, God through you is the feast. Your love, your faith, your enthusiasm about being here, about worshiping God. So that's really exciting. Well, we want to welcome everybody. Now, I realize that all of us have been perhaps traveling on planes or coming from long distances and or, do I dare say, things didn't quite work out according to Hoyle this morning? Something happened in the hotel room or kind of got you flustered or whatever, as we say in Southern California. And that is, it's time to meet everybody. Got to break the ice. Got to move out a little bit. So I'd like everybody to meet everybody for a couple of minutes. And don't go too far, because only so long. Mr. Stavork's got to speak later. But that I'd like you to, first of all, meet the individual to your right. Your wife doesn't count, by the way. Meet the individual to your right first. Let's meet. Go ahead. You can chatter. Chatter, chatter. Go ahead. Introduce yourself. Okay, brethren, class is back in session. Here we go. That's what we want to have during the feast. Another thing I'd like to do while we're here is I'd like all of our young people that are 18 and younger, could they please stand, and we'd like to see our youth and the future of the church. Could you all please rise? And let's understand, folks, that they're out of school right now. They're making a big sacrifice. I like to do this as we begin a Feast of Tabernacles because, you know, out there in the world beyond these walls, we get a lot of voices coming at us. We get a lot of signals. Sometimes we send those signals to ourselves that perhaps somehow we don't count. We get signals of negativity. We get signals of inadequacy. People are all times trying to define us. Brethren of God, God has defined us. This is His home for the 7 days plus one coming up. He is our Father. We worship His Son. We are His family. And you do count. I want you to understand that. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to have new experiences. That's what we've been praying for. We are here not just to do a same old song, SOS, same old stuff. We are here in this laboratory session of the feast to have breakthroughs. Oh, we might have breakdowns as well. Things will occur in the course of 8 days. They always do, and sometimes within the course of 8 minutes. But I want to share something with you, and you'll know what I'm about to say. For those of you that know me, all of us know that greatest beatitude of them all. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And let's remember that during this feast. I've said that for the last 35 years, and I'll have some kid who's no longer a kid. He's bigger than I am, and he'll come up and he'll say, "Mr. Weber, I remember." I say, "What do you remember?" I think it's going to be something really profound. And they say, "I remember what you always said, blessed are the flexible." Because I'm saying this as a German-American myself, that Germans are not too flexible. And things can happen during the feast. Absolutely. Can happen here in this room, can happen in the motel, everything happens on the freeway. But to recognize, let's not allow accidents to become incidents. Let's practice what we preach and rise above the moment. And that'll be very important. You do count. We're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're also going to be observing the 8th day festival. Why are we here, brethren? We are here to remind and refresh us of our divine spiritual rescue from slavery, of sin, and our future hope of the ultimate promise of God, that Jesus Christ is going to be returning to this earth and He is going to set up His millennial reign for 1,000 years. And you and I have the privilege to act that out, to experience that now, and beyond this Feast of Tabernacles to celebrate and to experience the 8th day festival in which each and every one of us have that opportunity and type to step into eternity. So we have a lot before us. One thing I'd like to share with all of you, if you'll join me in Deuteronomy 14, verse 26. In Deuteronomy 14 and verse 26, let's take a look here at a verse which is a hallmark of the Feast of Tabernacles. Speaking of how God asked us to set aside a portion of our income that we might be able to attend His holy festivals. And it says, "And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep." Did anybody do that this year? Anybody bring an oxen? "Oxen or sheep, for wines or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God." Everything we do, brethren, in this coming 7 days plus one, This is not our feast. It's not the feast of condos. It's the feast of tabernacles. And we are here not just simply to quote-unquote have a vacation, but to be about our sacred vocation as a kingdom of priests, as a holy people, to worship God and to practice what we've heard spoken from this podium. And it says, and you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. Not just being giddy. There's going to be a lot of happiness here in Oceanside over the next week. But a joy which is firm and resolute and assured and like cement in our heart. That God loves us. That God has chosen us. That God has a purpose. That we understand that when God called us, maybe we were headed for disaster. We are no longer headed for disaster, but God has given us a design and a purpose in our life. Humanity around us that's not keeping these festivals right now is not ultimately headed for disaster. But God has a design and God has a purpose. And we're here to learn more about it during this time. And it says, you shall rejoice, you and your household. Brethren, please look around. This is the household of God. This is our family for the next 7 days plus one. It is not our responsibility to choose God's family. It is our responsibility to accept God's family, to embrace them. Here in the United Church of God, we welcome those that have joined us for the feast, perhaps from other fellowships. There is a body of Christ. God knows who are His. And we welcome you. We are glad to have you. Those that are here for the very first time, to look around. Let's embrace one another. And let's be a committee of one to reach out. I talked to a lady before in the aisles, and she said there was an individual that came several years ago and was really excited about coming and came down through the hallway and came into the aisles and was there for 7 days. But nobody took them out, spent that extra time. Oh, they opened up Bibles together, but they didn't sit around a table together. They didn't share their hearts together. Nobody ought to be a stranger during this week. That's why I've asked you to reach out twice. Move out beyond your, are you ready for this? Your comfort zone. Boom, boom. When your heart starts, boom, boom. And you say, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, yes, you can. I'd like to read you a poem for a moment. It's called The Story of a Little Story. This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because, well, after all, it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. We are to rise above this and to embrace the family of God during this time. Let's make sure that we do that. Let's understand that we have a special time to be together. And that I would ask that I know all of us really look forward to the feast. It's a family time. We have extended family. My wife and I, Susan, I hope you'll stop by to meet her, all 700 of you. is we are so thrilled to have our two granddaughters with us this year. That's really exciting for Susan and I. And to recognize that a couple of years ago they became observant all on their own. Isn't that exciting? And to have Megan and Kaylin with us. We didn't have children at the feast for a while. That was kind of nice, but this is worth it. This is really neat to have a 14 and a 13-year-old with us and to be able to have family around the table again. That's very special. And to recognize that God's will and God's purposes are in His hands and that He calls young people. And He calls young hearts. And that's what's so exciting, to have all of these young people with us during this feast. And so maybe that's your story as well. Want to welcome all of you then. I hope we've broken some ice here. I do want to just make some general announcements. You are in the exhibition hall. If you look over to that large glass, that's an exit, in case there's an accident. And we have exit signs all around here. Now, hopefully nothing is going to happen. But we want you to be aware of fire potentials, what's going on. We have the different exit signs. We also have a mother's room, which is right over there by the gentleman at the door, who's raising his hand right now, even as I'm looking at him. For a parent, that's called the famous parents' room. And everybody that goes in there ultimately comes out. And that's the parents' room. And also there's an area there for nursing mothers as the need might arise. Also want to mention that we have a wonderful information area. It's going to be wide open tomorrow because it will not be a holy day or a Sabbath. There is restaurant information there. I'll be making some announcements this afternoon in regards to that, but if you're looking for restaurants, etc. We also have wonderful cards back there for all of our homebound members in the Southwest area. That becomes a real activity and social center as we're showing our love, writing those cards for others, and we start meeting one another. That's going to be back there in that area. Also, I want to mention that after services today, there is going to be a ministerial orientation meeting for elders, wives, and immediate children. And that's going to be in the Da Vinci room. Why do we do that? Because as our eldership, we're going to have a huddle so that we can best be able to serve all of our wonderful brethren that are here. So that'll be immediately after church. That's going to be in the Da Vinci room. I do want to move next, brethren, into an offering that we're going to have right now. We are going to be taking up an offering this morning, and it gives us an opportunity to give to our God an offering. An offering is a time of reflection, of praise, of worship, and giving. And to give an offering, we need to prepare our hearts to be able to worship God. It's not just a matter of collecting a bunch of envelopes, brethren. You are making your statement of faith and confidence that indeed that God is not just simply a first cause of nature, but continues to intervene in your life and into the life of the world around us. For those newly attending, it is our practice in the United Church of God to bring an offering 7 times a year. On the annual holy days, we utilize the pattern that is found in Deuteronomy 16:16. While the fall festivals allow us to understand God's great love for humanity, which is depicted by this feast of ingathering of the great fall harvest, which is yet to come, brethren of God, people of God, you and I have an opportunity today to experience the kingdom of God in our lives. And today we have an opportunity to express our gratitude and our thanksgiving to God for what he has done to us. God the Father called us. His Spirit is indwelling in us. It is tabernacling in us today. We have voluntarily submitted ourselves to come underneath that rule that the rest of the world is going to come under one day. And you and I have that opportunity to express by our offering that we do have faith in Jesus Christ, that we are those that keep the commandments of God, that we are the ones that are, by his grace, able to experience the fullness of the Bible, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament, the New Testament, for indeed it is ultimately one revelation. We've surrendered our lives to God. We put our lives, and the lives of our family. We've given them our past, we give them our present, and we've handed over to our Father above a future. And we have that confidence. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you for your calling. It's not about me, it's about you. It's not what I have done. There's nothing I could achieve by myself, but because of your love and your interest, and because of what Jesus Christ did for me, that I have an opportunity to be here today and to show you my love and my thanksgiving and to praise you for for what you have done in my life and to realize that there's nothing personal about salvation, but to recognize that God has a plan and God has a purpose for every human being that has ever lived, that this is not the only day of salvation. What a joy that we have to be able to give our great God an offering. Join me, if you would, in Psalm 46. I would like to read one psalm to prepare our hearts for worship. Psalm 47. In Psalm 47, in verse 1, it says, "O clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all of the earth, and he will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah." Then notice verse 5, because giving an offering should be a happy and a joyous time, a time of celebration and joy. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of the earth. Sing praises with understanding. And we just didn't drop in here this morning, brethren. We have an understanding that God has placed his name here. And God has placed his spirit in us and given us a revelation that is incredible and wonderful and true. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our great defense. He is God Almighty. Belong to God, and he is greatly to be exalted. Thus, we have an opportunity to give our great God an offering. As you do that, I want to say thank you for your faith and your confidence in our great God and his Son. And also thank you for your confidence in the United Church of God to be custodians of your donations of faith towards our great God. Every dime, every penny, every dollar goes to one mission, and that is to preach of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. It is designed to make disciples in all nations, and with all of you here, to be able to care for those disciples, the precious people of God.